Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning and thank you for joining us today for Apex Online. And hopefully you've been with us over these past few weeks as we've been on this journey over our summer period of walking with Jesus, as we've looked at various different encounters that Jesus had with people whilst he walked around the earth. And today I want to kind of bring this all to a conclusion as we wrap up our series Walking with Jesus. I wonder, over the summer season, have you had opportunity to maybe get on holiday or head out of town or go somewhere different? Maybe not this year, but previous years you've had that opportunity even. And as you've headed maybe to a new destination, there's always that sense of expectation, especially if it's somewhere that you've been looking forward to, that you've wanted to go for a long time. Even if it's a new hotel that maybe you wanted to check out. I wonder, when you get there, what are you looking for? What's the things that you're looking forward to? Is it the breakfast? Is it the room? Or maybe how many TV channels that there are? Well, this summer, as we were on our time off, we went to visit a couple of different hotels. And I'll be honest, I was really looking forward to the restaurant. But for Daniel, our oldest boy, he was more interested in the swimming pool. He wanted and talked about the swimming pool all the way there. And it's the first thing that he wanted to do. And it was everything that he was looking forward to, was the swimming pool. And he had an awesome time in the pool. Things are a little bit different, though, when you've maybe been to a destination before that you're returning to. Maybe you like to go to the same hotel or the same destination on holiday, and maybe your experience is a little bit different, because on those occasions, when you've been before, you're not basing what you're looking forward to on expectation, but rather on your experiences. You know what the hotel's like, you know what the rooms are like, you know what facilities are there. You're basing everything on experience. And I want to ask you today, if your walk with Jesus is based on your expectation or your experiences. I wonder, maybe today, are you just walking with Jesus and relying on what's already happened and what experiences you've already had? Or are you living with an expectation of what he's still to do in your life? Today I want to look at the story we find in John chapter 5. And it's an incredible encounter moment where one man's life is totally transformed. It happens in a busy time in Jerusalem. It's during one of the festivals, and there's a lot of people in the city. There's a lot of religious leaders there for the festival. And I guess within that crowd there were some who had been before, and they had experience of what Jerusalem was like at this time. And there may have been some people there for the first time who had expectations and were excited about what that festival would be like. And in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, which is not too far from the temple, there was a place called Bethesda. And that's the scene for our story today. Bethesda was a significant place for people, particularly for people who needed healing. It was a place that they looked to that could have been the source for their cure. Turn with me to John chapter 5, and let's read this passage together. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed.
One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who had been healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse will happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. I want to talk to you today about shifting to a place of expectation. See, in our passage today, we see a scene which takes place in Bethesda. Bethesda was a place of expectation. The people who lay around that pool had an expectation that once a year, the angel of the Lord would descend, would stir up the water, and the first person who got into that water would be cured. Now, that was their expectation. Now, albeit it could have been a misplaced expectation, but that's what they were expecting. And they lived their lives, and every year, with the hope and expectation that this could be their year. That maybe this was the moment that they would get into the water and they would be cured. They were living with expectation. And I want to ask you today, are you living with expectation? Because I believe that walking with Jesus, the journey with Jesus, is a journey of expectation. It's not only about experiences, it's also about expecting Jesus to still work in your life, to still do things in your future, not just in your path. They were believing for something. They had expectation. Are you living your life with expectation that today Jesus could meet you and today could be the day that he totally transforms your life? The journey with Jesus is a journey of expectation. Anything could happen. So step one for each of us as we walk with Jesus is to expect for Jesus to meet with us and to walk with him every day so that we grow in that expectation that in any given moment of any day that Jesus can turn up and totally transform our lives. You see, these people, they were surrounded the pool there at Bethesda, and the text tells us that there was 5 covered colonnades. And it meant that they were lying in the shadows of those colonnades. And first of all, before we speak about getting to the place of expectation, I wonder, are there things that keep us from living in a place of expectation? It's almost like being in the shadows and being in the shade, and it's keeping us out of sight from what Jesus wants to do in our lives. What are some of these things that can keep us from the place of expectation? It could be the place of comfort. It could be the place of victimhood, worry, fear, denial, pride, independence, shame, or guilt. All these things can keep us from living a life with expectation and faith and belief in God and just stay in a place of just no progress. It's the same old, same old. No life change, No transformation, no growth. But I believe that Jesus wants you to live in a place of expectation. So what is one of the first places that we've got to be real with? And here's one of the things that I think that we all have to deal with, and it's our pride. Now, that is really the root of all our struggles and all our sin. It's the sin that meant that Satan himself was cast out of heaven. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Pride saying, I don't need God's help. I can do this by myself. I've got this. I'm in control. I can fix this. I know better myself. I'm self-sufficient. I'm self-made. And when we live in the place of pride, we are denying God's ability, and we are actually elevating our works. We're maybe not saying this out loud, but actually our declaration is, I've got this, I don't need God, I can sort this out. Maybe you find yourself like the invalid who's helpless and hopeless, can't get to the pool by himself, but you're living in a place where your circumstance and your situation is helpless and hopeless, but you still think that you're going to be able to pull it all off. And can I say to you today that you don't need to live in that place? Because Jesus wants to meet you in your place of expectation. And he wants to bring the life change and the transformation into your life. You see, the religious leaders who were in the city of Jerusalem at this time, they were prideful about their ability to obey all the different laws that were in place. And not only were they so pleased about how good they were, they loved to point out the failings of other people. And Jesus uses this moment to really highlight the difference between their experience and this new way and better way that Jesus brought to us. And he says intentionally to this man when he encounters him to pick up his mat. Now, at this point, picking up your mat like this would have been considered as work, and that was forbidden on the Sabbath. And Jesus did this on purpose because he was really trying to point out a lesson here and a key truth. That the law was insufficient. That everything that came before Jesus was insufficient to bring life change and transformation and was unable to forgive sins. But Jesus, he is God. And he had the power and authority to forgive sins. And Jesus tells the guy to go and to carry his mat. I guess today I'd want to ask you, is one of the things that's maybe holding you back from living in that place of expectation, it could be your pride, and it could be just the unwillingness to acknowledge that you need God's help, that you need Jesus to intervene in your life. Well, as I said earlier, 1 Peter says that God gives grace and shows favor to the humble, but he resists the proud. So can I encourage you today, take a moment to just humble yourself and ask for his help. The second thing we've got to be aware of is our comfort. You know, the comfort is the enemy's plan to hinder you on your walk with Jesus. It is the enemy of expectation. Comfort says that it's too hard. It's too much effort. Let's just stay here where we are. We'll manage. It'll be fine. Now, this guy, 38 years, had lay on his mat. He could have stayed there for the rest of his days. But he had an expectation that something could be different. And one of the tools that the enemy uses is doubt and causes us to think, well, is it even possible? Is this even going to work? I believe Jesus is calling you out of your doubts and out of a place of comfort into a place of expectation and believing that he can make the difference in your life. This man who lay in this mat for 38 years, his problem had become his way of life. And I wonder today, you could be watching me today and you find yourself in a long-term situation that really is just your way of life. And I believe that Jesus is still the one who can bring transformation into our lives, that he can turn our situations around, that nothing is too hard for him. So are you expecting, or have you resigned to accepting? Have you just said, well, this is always how it's always going to be? Or do you still have that faith within you that something can change, that Jesus is still the answer? He's still able to bring breakthrough and transformation. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that very famous Bible story of a little boy called David and a giant called Goliath. And prior to that amazing victory, the army of Israel are hiding in their tents of comfort, whilst Goliath is taunting the army and cursing the name of God. And David, the little boy, gets there and hears on, sees all this, and he's wondering, what is going on here? Why are we all in our tents when Goliath is cursing our God? He begins to ask about what's going on, and he says a great statement. We read this in the New King James Version. It says, is there not a cause? So David looked at the situation and realized, we need to do something about this. He didn't join his brothers and the rest of the army in the tents of comfort. He made a choice that he was going to live for and thought that something was worth fighting for. And it was a cause that was greater than himself. I wonder, are you living in a place of comfort where you're just living for yourself? Or have you come to a point where you've had a revelation that there is a cause, that there is a plan, that there is a purpose, that there is a destiny, that there is a will, that God is not done with us yet, and there is a cause worth living for and worth fighting for. And David makes that choice to confront Goliath and defeats that giant. And he not only defeats the giant of Goliath, he overcame the giant of comfort and fear. And maybe you're watching today and you find yourself in the place of comfort and you will never see breakthrough and transformation in that place. You need to move on. You got to get out of that tent and you got to make the choice that I'm going to live in a place of expectation, because that's where encounter happens. That's where we meet Jesus. That's when faith rises up within us and Jesus responds to our faith. A couple of weeks ago, one of the football teams that I support, Manchester United, were playing a team called Brentford. And if you watched that match and you're a Man United fan, you were probably in tears. It's one of the worst performances that I've seen a football team of any description play. There was no hunger. There was no positive mentality. Players were just walking about. Nobody was running after, chasing down causes. There was just a sense of apathy and comfort and just accepting whatever will be, and they got beat heavily 4-0. Everybody expected them to win that match. But they even probably went out there thinking they were going to win that match. But they suffered a defeat that day that brought shame and embarrassment to the team and to the fans. And just this week, they had a different match. They were playing a far better team, Liverpool. And nobody expected Man United to win that match. But the players went out with a different outlook and a different mentality. Their work rate went up so much higher than the previous match against Brentford. Something had shifted. Something had changed within that team. That from one week, just a place of just acceptance and apathy and comfort, there was an expectation and a belief within those players that they could win that match and there could be a difference. And likewise today, I wonder, are you living your life with this sense of acceptance and apathy? Just that, well, what's the point? Is anything going to change? You know, your breakthrough, that your moment of encounter and transformation can have a greater impact than just for you. It can also impact those around you as well. The example I just gave of Man United, it wasn't just the players that benefited. It was the fans who benefited. It was the people who were cheering them on. And even in your life, the transformation that you could experience might have an impact on your family, in your community, in your neighborhood. You know, this man who had been an invalid for 38 years, the Bible tells us that he was going around the temple in that area, and obviously he was excited. And everybody who knew him, everyone who saw him for 38 years, lying, helpless, could now see him walking on his feet. I'm sure there's moments where he was jumping and running and celebrating. And they could see that change in him. Friend, don't allow apathy to stop you from not only experiencing that transformation that benefits you, but can benefit other people around you. And really it comes down to this question that Jesus asked them. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Are you willing to step away from your pride, to step out of your comfort, to leave behind your apathy, and realize that Jesus is willing to meet you in that place of expectation? So what are some of the things then that help us to shift into that place of expectation? What are the things that we need to pick up? Well, I believe one of the first things that we need to look at is the company that we are keeping. He was surrounded by people that were disabled. They were in a similar position. And I believe one of the best ways that you can get yourself into a place of expectation is to choose to get around other people who share your aspiration and for expectation, that share your belief that Jesus is still able to bring transformation. And you've got to be intentional that those who are negative, pessimistic, those that lack belief, you've got to step away from those people and get in the atmosphere of faith and expectation. You need to make sure you've got the right company. When Jesus speaks to the man, he says, I've got no one. No one to help me. I've got absolutely no one. It was the cry of a victim. Someone who was filled with self-pity and someone who was filled with just a sense of poor me, with a victim's mentality. I've got no one to help me. And in that moment, right before him, was the only one that he needed. And it was Jesus. Friend, do you realize that all you need is Jesus? He is the only one that you need. And maybe you find yourself in a moment and you're looking around, you're going, I've got no one, I've got no one. And you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're feeling like you're the victim. And Jesus comes to you today and he is all that you need. And he wants to bring that transformation into your life. Jesus is all that you need. You know, Bethesda was known, its name meant the house of mercy. And that's where he was living his life, in the house of mercy. And you know, friend, you can live your life in Jesus, the God of mercy. And in this moment, this man experiences the mercy of God where undeservingly he experiences an incredible transformation. And he chooses to live his life in Jesus. See, that's the second thing that we need to do, is make the choice. Our choices are so important because the choice here is to obey. Obedience. You know, that's a word that sometimes feels oppressive and can feel like a burden. Actually, it's something that brings great liberty to your life. Because Jesus gave this man an instruction. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And every instruction that Jesus gives us is not to limit and restrict our lives, but actually is to help us to move forward in our lives. And this requires obedience. It's not just hearing what Jesus says, it's applying what Jesus says. Now that is hard work at times, and that's the Christian life. And Jesus demonstrated to us that some days it requires a lot of hard work and discipline. And we've got to be willing to make that choice to obey him. Imagine if you had been like this man, spent 38 years lying as an invalid, and you were healed immediately. Can you just picture that scene? This man must have been shocked. He must have been amazed at what had happened. I'm sure if I was him, I'd have been running around. I'd have been waving that mat in the air. I'd have been over the moon telling everyone about it. This was someone who had experienced what he was expecting. And I know Jesus can do it, and he can do it for you. And when he spoke to all these people who were asking him, what's happened to you? What are you doing carrying your mat? He was still trying to figure out what had just happened. And the Bible tells us that Jesus finds him in the temple. And he sees that he is well. But he also gave him an instruction. He said, stop sinning. And this is one of the key things of walking with Jesus, is that one of the key choices that we make is that we stop making choices that are harmful in our relationship with Jesus. Anything that gets in the way of walking with him. The truth is that each of us are human. And even if you are the holiest of saints, we're human. And there are times when we stumble, when we falter, and we need the help that Jesus has for us, the mercy that he has for us. And the good news is he hasn't left us to try and figure out this life all by ourselves. We're not like the religious leaders that need to go and align everything up and make sure we're perfect and doing all our best works. No, we need to rely on the grace and the mercy of Jesus that empowers us to live the life here on earth. We don't need Jesus just for our afterlife. We need him every single day. And then the Bible tells us this, the final verse of our passage, it was Jesus who made him well. Wasn't the water, wasn't the tradition, wasn't the law, wasn't anything that he had done. It was Jesus that made him well. If you want to live in the place of expectation, you've got to give him the glory for what he's doing or done in your life. And also, what you are expecting him to do. If you can get yourself into a place where you are not just looking at what's happened in your past, but you allow those positive experiences to ignite faith within you, that you can look forward and believe again and expect for Jesus to do great things in your life, you'll begin to give him the glory before he does anything that you're expecting him to do. I believe when you get yourself in a position like that, a place of expectation, you attract his presence. You attract his power. And maybe you're watching me today, and if you're being honest, you're not in a place of expectation. You're in a place of pride, of comfort, of apathy, of fear, of worry, of insecurity, of denial, whatever it is today. But I want to encourage you to find yourself in that place of expectation where you surround yourself with others who share your aspirations, who have faith in God, but you make that decision that I am going to obey what Jesus says to do. When you get to that place, you'll attract his power. You'll attract his presence. You'll attract his provision. You'll be walking with Jesus, which is a journey of expectation. expectation. You're watching me today, and you've never in your life had a moment where you've reached out to Jesus, or you've encountered him, or you've begun a relationship with him. And as you look around your life, you feel helpless. You feel hopeless. And maybe as I've just spoken about sin, you're aware that in your life there are things that are hurtful and are harmful that are keeping you from experiencing the life that Jesus has for you. Well, the good news is that Jesus has dealt with that, and he wants to be in relationship with you. He's the only one that can forgive sin. And he wants to forgive your sins. He wants to be in a relationship with you. And because of what he did upon the cross and shed his blood so that your sins could be forgiven, it means that you can be in relationship with your Father in heaven. It gives us the promise of an abundant life here, but also eternal life in his presence forevermore. Or you could be watching me today, and if you're honest, you're not walking with Jesus as you should be. You know how you should be, and you've been drifting away, and you want to use this moment to make a fresh commitment to him. Can you just pray this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, and you went to the cross, and you took my place. You paid the penalty, took the punishment for my sin. I realize I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person by the power of your Spirit. I confess you are my Lord. I believe you're risen from the dead. Help me to follow you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you pray that prayer, please reach out to us. We'd love to connect with you and help you on your journey. Well, friend, you've been watching me today and you are a believer. And if you're being truthful, you found yourself in a place of comfort, or maybe you've been a bit prideful, or maybe if you're being truthful, you're just a little bit apathetic. And if you want to encounter Jesus, he wants to meet you in the place of expectation. So Father, I pray for those today who are watching me and maybe have sensed a challenge in their own heart today that maybe they're not where they once were, or maybe they are feeling a sense of, man, I could be doing so much more for Jesus. Well, Father, I pray that you will bring them to that place of expectation, that, Lord, they'll make the decision, Lord, not to give in to the temptations and the temptation to live in a place of comfort or a place of pride and apathy, but Lord, they will choose to pursue you, that they'll make the decision to run after you, and you will meet them in that place of expectation. So Father, wherever they find themselves today, you know their circumstance, you know their situation. Bring the life change and transformation that only you can, and we will give you all the glory you're due.